residential connection. I'm talking to a lighting specialist to arc residential to smart home.
Welcome to Residential Tech Talks. I'm Jeremy Glowacki, Executive Editor of Residential Tech Today. On this week's podcast, two very distinguished guests join us representing the CEDIA Board of Directors. Alex Capisalatro, the CEO of Denver-based Josh AI, the voice-controlled home automation system, and Amanda Wildman, the co-owner of True Media, a respected custom integration firm in Ada, Michigan, are chairperson and vice chairperson of CEDIA, respectively. CEDIA recently completed a record year for new member acquisitions, its first ever CEDIA Smart Home Day on Capitol Hill to lobby for integrator recognition, and a return to financial and organizational stability with a balanced budget and extension of CEO Daryl Friedman's contract through 2027. And to top it off, the organization just announced the addition of Paul Dolick and Mitchell Klein to its leadership team to help bolster growth and expansion initiatives for the Professional Smart Home Industries Global Trade Association. To talk more about all of that and also their own day jobs, Alex Capisalatro and Amanda Wildman, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Jeremy.
It's great to see both of you virtually. And we're recording this on April 24th. So you both are always on the road. I keep seeing Facebook posts. I see you in person at events. Alex, go first. Where are you today?
Yeah. I'm in Denver right now, heading to the airport in about an hour. Going to Palm Springs, then LA, and then Cape Cod.
There you go. See, all over the place. Amanda, I think you're closer to home. Where are you right now?
I am closer to home. I'm actually joining you today from one of my clients. New homes. They're just getting ready to move in. Super exciting. And like Alex, you know, kind of on the road, but usually a little bit more in Michigan at job sites until my CEDIA, service calls. And I get lucky enough to get to go travel to other places and just came back from the CEDIA Tech Summit in Chicago.
Right, exactly. We're going to talk a bit about that. And I most recently saw you, I believe it was back in March in person at the Lydapalooza conference. Was that
yes.
When we? Yeah. So we're in Arizona together, and that was a great event for the industry. And I'm sure you were there as wearing two hats, being an integrator or learning about lighting, and also as a CEDIA.
Three hats.
Okay, what was the third one?
The third hat was some people know, like we have a family business. So my daughter's actually started to get into the business and she's actually going into lighting design. So it was really exciting. She spent some time really talking to a lot of the lighting designers, really trying to figure out what her best path forward going with that is. So kind of doing like some mentoring and fostering in that next generation. So, yeah.
That's right. I forgot I saw your daughter there. That's really cool too. So you're a mom, mentor, CEDIA board member, and co-owner of an integration firm. So those three roles. And then Alex, I just saw you like about a week ago at the ASEAN Unlimited conference where I attended your AI sessions and really had a great time getting the less scary version of AI for a change, which was much welcome. Thank you so much for those great sessions.
Yeah, no, it's been a fun year. I feel like COVID is definitely over, not from the standpoint of, you know, people still get it, but from the standpoint of events are back, you know, from ISE, CES, KBIS, I mean, ASEAN, ProStore, CEDIA Tech Summits. There's a lot going on this year, and it's been a whirlwind.
Absolutely, it's great to be able to absorb things in person. Then we all have to get back and do something with what we learned, and that's always the challenge. When I feel like the virtual part of it, we could actually like sit down and get some work done right after we get off the call. Now we're like traveling back, and you're like, can I? Okay, the next thing to start it, and what did I learn from that last thing? So as a media person, it's a big challenge for sure. But I was really excited to talk about this news that came out just this week from CEDIA. And you guys are probably not necessarily ready to talk all about folks and their backgrounds that are joining the organization, but I thought maybe we could just sort of touch on the addition of Paula and Mitchell to the executive team at CEDIA. One, obviously, Mitchell is very well known in the industry. Paul comes from a different background. And how well are you both, you know, kind of clued in on this part of the news from the association? I'm sure you are as executive committee members, but maybe Amanda, you want to start and just tell the listeners and viewers what the news means for Cedia?
Yeah, well, I'm super excited, obviously, for this new chapter. I think it's great in the fact that we're bringing in Mitchell. I mean, he was one of my mentors, and he was my predecessor on the PDAC when I was the chairwoman of PDAC. He had been the chairman just before that, so I learned a lot from him about how our education system at Cedia was set up, how it was kind of designed. So I think he's going to bring a real rich history of that. Plus, I mean, he spent a little bit of time away from Cedia, so he's gotten to see like how other organizations and things like that, you know, function and how they work with their education. So I think he's going to bring a fresh new perspective as well. And then Paul, I think, is really, really great because he comes from the electrical kind of side of the world. And so I think it's going to be really interesting because as I've been going through like my electrical apprenticeship, because we've added an electrical division to our company and I'm doing the electrical apprenticeship, I see how they have their like education designed and organized and really having a clear pathway. So I think bringing that knowledge into the Cedia channel of like how a clear pathway and a really well-defined pathway to get people into like the next level, like when you're an apprentice, going to a journeyman, going to a master electrician, I think that that will bring a lot of really good viewpoint and solid foundation for Cedia. So I'm super excited to meet Paul. I haven't met him yet. But I know Daryl and the team, they did a really, really great, like long, thorough interview process. And I'm just excited for what that has in store for Cedia. Can't wait.
Yeah. And look, to kind of clarify their roles. So Paul is going to be vice president of education and Mitchell is going to be vice president of business development. So those seem fairly straightforward. And I think from Paul's standpoint, backfilling a fit position that has changed, you know, from someone else. And then Mitchell, believe is enhancing what we already have in the organization. Is that correct, Alex, as far as it's been kind of decided from the kind of corporate tree there as roles? Because we have a similar role in business development and sales, I guess, there. So is this a new role for the organization or one that had existed in the past and now we're getting it again?
You know, it's a little bit of all of the above. And I guess the simplest way to put it is both of these roles will be reporting directly to Daryl. And when we looked across the board at the staff of Cedia, and we have some amazing people with amazing skill sets, we've really been focused on, I think, two main areas that Cedia needs to step it up a little bit in. The first is education. For years and years, Cedia has been known for just being an amazing place to get educated, to get trained. But in the last couple of years, I think we've seen Cedia falling behind in some areas, like Lytapalooza has really, you know, emerged as a great place to learn about that category. And Cedia needs to evolve. Cedia needs to reinvent itself a little bit. And Paul coming in, I think, is really helping us look at just the way that we're treating education from a new perspective. And then Mitch's role, I think, is similar as well. We spent a lot of time talking about at Cedia, we need to make sure that we're providing value for the members, that we're creating the right tools, the right events, the right, you know, partnerships, so that members are feeling like they're able to get the right value, learn, you know, improve their businesses. And so this role that Mitch is going to have, in a way, it's not net new from the standpoint of we've always done business development in one way or another. But I think it's net new from the standpoint of Mitch has a very unique perspective. What he's done in the past, I think, is going to just help sort of open up the ability for Cedia to say, how do we better leverage these amazing partners? What, you know, Lutron's doing and Snap and Crestron and all these other, you know, member companies, and how do we provide benefits for the members so that they can look and say, wow, Cedia has created new programs, new events. You know, we're going to get into tech summits here in a second. This role is going to be part of that. How do we make those events even stronger? And so I think really it's less about, are we replacing existing roles or creating net new roles? It's more about, does Daryl have a strategic executive leadership team that can help make the overall CD experience for our members that much better. Okay. And I think these two roles are going to absolutely do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I guess it always is important to remind the audience that CEDIA, the association, is leading in education and the government affairs type of initiatives for the industry. Whereas, you know, CEDIA Expo is a separate entity now that CEDIA, the association, does serve in terms of education, but different kind of areas there. Now, CEDIA as the education arm of the industry also has events, which is the Tech Summit, now called Tech and Business Summit. Let's talk a little bit about that sort of revamping that's been going on there. You've attended these events, and I know there's been a lot of call from the participants, like on the sponsorship side, the manufacturer side, to kind of freshen those up, figure out a new way to make those, you know, viable and useful for the industry. And they're really good because you can't just have that one education big event at CEDIA Expo. You've got to have these smaller regional sort of events and local events. So maybe Amanda, could you talk about what you saw up in Chicago at the most recent one that was, you know, kind of new and fresh about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the Chicago one was really unique because it also had an RP22 workshop at it, which was the first time that we brought that workshop to the U.S. So I actually spent the majority of my time in there. So okay. I'll talk about that in just a couple seconds. But as far as the floor and what they're doing with adding, you know, the business section to it, and Jonathan was really cognizant of that. Jonathan Toomey, I don't know if you've met him yet, but
not yet.
Really talking to and asking business owners, you know, what is it that you want to be able to work on with your business? And so they brought in Leslie Schreiner, who is one of our fellows, and they brought in, his name's going to come to me one second, Matt Bernath, sorry, from Vital, to really say, you know what, now instead of just talking about product all the time, that's great, right, to see all these new products, and they have these great tables set up with products and product lines, and you can ask the questions and touch and feel and deal with the products. But also, how do you take these concepts and how do you make your business better? And so they really have been delving into how do we actually make our business better? How do we make it stronger? How do we look at the books? How do we look at the numbers? Because ultimately, that's being better business owners as integrators, make us able to buy more product, make us, you know, able to be able to service more clients, to be able to deal with service plans, to have that longevity for your business, which all of our businesses need, right, is because it's not enough to just sell the product or sell the box and give it to a customer, hand it over, and we're done. That's where we're very different from, like, say, the electrical trade. You know, when the electrical trade hands over a project, that outlet works or it doesn't work. The only reason the electrician's coming back is if someone wants to add more outlets. You don't generally have a service plan on outlets. All of our products, I always call them kind of like the gateway drug. If we put them in and they function properly and they make our clients' lives better, we're going back out there to add more products or to update, you know, technology, update products. And so we have to have strong businesses to be able to have that longevity to be able to service our clients. So this was really the first time adding that whole business segment. I mean, I know Leslie, she's helped me going through a lot of stuff, you know, with my books and with how my business is run. And she was instrumental for me, you know, during COVID, helping navigate to get, you know, the funding and stuff like that. So bringing them to the Tech and Business Summit, I think, has been really instrumental for business owners. And I think one of the other new things that I saw was we saw some new product lines. At least I noticed that in the Chicago one. Like, they had a company there that is doing, like, measuring air quality, right? And we've never really had that before. And so I thought, well, that's something that's kind of new and kind of different. So you've got this device that you can put in your home, monitor the air quality. It goes to the app on your phone. It'll feed into any of your control systems. And it will just tell you, like, it helps monitor what's going on the outside. It also lets you know, what you can do to improve the air quality in your home, whether you should be opening up some windows maybe, or, you know, running your furnace, things like that. So I think that, you know, CDO is trying to be really open to having new people at their tables and have new conversations, but then also bringing the business aspect. And in Chicago, I saw a company, I think they brought like 8 people. So they were bringing their technicians, they were bringing the owners, they were bringing the project managers. So that was really, really great to see. And I had a great conversation with them about, you know, what did they see? And they all had different perspectives. So I think that was really great. They were all kind of getting something out of it.
Yeah, and that's not something probably you're going to see as much. Maybe in the old days at CDA Expo, you aren't going to bring a huge team unless, you know, you really want to shut down the operation for extended period of time. To have that 1 day or 2 day experience, you know, that's a perfect fit for a company like that to be able to bring a group, you know, like you just described. And you also, you went to that, so you talk about your all day session there that you're mostly attending. That's a great new.
So the RP22, or I'll call it the brain melt, right? I don't think I've done that much math in a long time. It was good to dust it off. What I will say, I kind of went in with some preconceived notions. I don't do a lot of cinema rooms myself in my market, in my area. And I would say my preconceived notion when, you know, RP22 first came out, I had a lot of people, you know, there's people that are very polarized on one end or the other about what it exactly means for the industry and things like that. And does it only do like $150,000 to multi-million dollar cinemas and that's all we're focused on? Mm-hmm. I will say that I was very, very pleasantly surprised when I went into there because Peter actually taught it, and then he had a couple other new people that are going to be starting to teach the U.S. Adam Peltz is one of them, teaching it in the U.S. And they really go through not only explaining what the standards are and why the standards exist, but how to be able to sell and how to be able to engineer to designers. And for me, that was like a real eye-opener. Basically the whole first day of like helping kind of like figure out the layout and start figuring out the design and figuring out the standards within the design. I will tell you, I will be adding it to every single one of my presentations when I talk a media room or a cinema room with a designer, with a homeowner, with an architect, because it was done in such a beautifully simplistic way to be able to teach people that this is why we design it that way. This is why the seating needs to be in this location versus that location. Or when you move things within a room, what does that cause for, you know, your listening experience or for your viewing experience? It was really, really well done. Granted, I was in the room. Most of the people in the room were actual like cinema designers. They do a lot for their companies. So they do a lot more cinemas than I do. Everyone walked away with a new piece of knowledge. Everyone walked away with, well, that makes sense. And I took the challenge because I said, well, this is great if you've got, you know, $150,000 plus cinema budget. What if I have a viewing room? Could I actually use the RP22 standard and build something, a level one, under $20,000? And because that was just a challenge, I wanted to see if it could actually be done. I worked with Ken Erdman on mine. He and I, we both came up with one and we did a level one cinema room, designed it all out, and we were under $20,000. So I was like, okay, it can be done. And it was a really great way to be able to walk through like all of the steps. And it definitely like it built confidence in me when I'm walking and I'm working on a room with somebody. And I think it's really a great class. And I think for all the misnomers, I thought that it was going to be very limiting. Tell me what I couldn't do. And in fact, taking the class, I feel like I was a lot more freed to look, this is what I can do. And this is where I can get over those struggles a lot faster, a lot easier by actually being able to show the math and showing why it is that we actually do what we do. So it was a really good, great class.
Yeah. And that's another element to the CDA leadership is that standards making, right? It's really something you've been involved with in terms of the, baseline, you know, and basically infrastructure of a smart home, right? And then now this is like the upper echelon, but can be brought down a notch too from the entertainment side of it. That's really, really important in terms of what Cedia does for the industry and what it provides the industry. Alex, and I guess we probably ought to touch on something. Christine will be mad at us if we don't mention the Chord's termination challenge. I think that's an important ingredient as well from a technician standpoint. There's a whole series of schedule locations coming up ahead. What can you tell us about that? It sort of sounds like the old days of the installer challenges that we used to do, probably back before your days in Cedia even, the installer Olympics and that type of thing. But this sounds really interesting from a tech standpoint.
Yeah, I think before diving into that, let's sort of start at a higher level, because that's just one of many things that are taking place at these tech summits.
Okay.
So first and foremost, I think it's worth understanding that for about maybe 2 years now, Cedia has really defined sort of the, the goals of the organization as being based on three main pillars that we call ACE. And ACE stands for advocacy, connection, and education. And so rather than saying, we're going to do all these random things and people don't really know what Cedia is focused on, we're really just focused on these three things. So advocacy, that was the Government Hill Day. There's a lot around helping to advocate for the industry. Connection, that's a big part of what these events are about, you know, bringing people together, making sure that we're able to, you know, get face-to-face and learn and network. And then education is obviously very important. The rebrand from Cedia Tech Summits to Cedia Tech and Business Summits was really about pushing on both the C and the E, the connection and the education. And so on the education side, Amanda was giving a really great background. It's not just, you know, meeting with these companies and getting educated about their products, but really getting educated about, you know, very specific and deep, you know, domains. And I think this Quartz Challenge is just another great example of this. And so what they've done is to say, hey, we're going to have a little, you know, table stand where you can learn about our products. How do we make it more interactive? How do we make it more engaging? And so I got to experience this firsthand at the Orange County and Los Angeles Cedia Tech and Business Summits, where they're basically doing a challenge of how fast can you terminate these cables? And what's fun about this is it gives, you know, the techs in the industry and gives people that want to get a little more hands-on something that's more tangible, more, you know, just, you know, touchy-feely hands-on. And it's really cool that they're doing this. And again, I feel like it's just one of many areas that if you go to one of these events, you're going to be able to experience, you're going to be able to learn, you're going to be able to take something away. I think it's also worth noting these events are completely free for attendees. And so if there's a Cedia Tech and Business Summit within, what would you say, Amanda, an hour, even 2 hours, depending on where you live, go to it, because you're going to meet with these vendors, you're going to learn, you're going to be educated, and you're going to be able to network with, you know, not just one or two vendors, but we're bringing 20 or 30 vendors to each location. They're pretty awesome, you know, opportunities to just go and spend a day up-leveling your business.
Well, and I would say, Alex, you can deep dive into it too, because the tables, what's nice about it kind of being the tabletop versus like a large booth, right? When you go to like an expo, is maybe they don't bring quite as much stuff, right, to a tabletop type thing, but you really get to talk to the people that are working with and doing the product. Sometimes at larger expos, you might be talking to someone that they, you know, hired in for the day to, you know, to be able to help get, you know, your name, your information, to follow up with you or whatever when you're at a large expo. Plus, there's so many things going on at an expo. This is an opportunity for you to really take a deep dive and really get your questions answered and say, you know, for example, I had a perfect one. I worked with Ben from DMF. And I had a very specific, you know, need that I had for a lighting thing coming up for a project. And I said, look, this is a challenge that I have. This is a product that I'm using right now. It's not specifically fitting the needs. This is what it is that I need. And he had the time because, again, it's a smaller, it's a little bit more intimate setting. But like he was able to walk me through specifically, and he's sending me a sample for one of his other products so I can try it, you know, see if it addresses the concerns or the issues that I had. And really take kind of like that deep dive time. And then I would say too, with the Chords Challenge, Alex, did you get a chance to do it? Did you actually do the Chords Challenge?
No, I got to hang out with James and we sort of, you know, watched and encouraged a number of people, but I didn't personally do it.
Okay. So I didn't do it in Chicago because I did not have time being in the RP22, but I did do it in ISE. So I will tell you, it's one of those where when you have the technicians, there's just something about it. So I did it the first day, and I'll be honest, I think I was at maybe like a minute 20, and I was pretty good. I think it was between a minute 20 and a minute 15 or whatever for the first day. And I think that was like third or fourth place. But someone behind me says to me, well, you were the first, or you were the number one girl for the day, which anyone that knows me, that's not going to sit really, really well. So I went back the next day and I did it, and I got under, I was 56 seconds. So I was under a minute. That was my goal. Went back the next day, under 56 seconds. And I was first for that day. But I think they actually have someone that's like the fastest is 35 seconds right now. So I'm super impressed. I'm like, I got to like up my speed and up my game a little bit. But it was kind of fun, you know, to be there when I was at ISE doing it. Like, I got a couple other people to do it. And it's just kind of fun to highlight, you know, the technicians and do something a little bit different and, you know, have a little bit of like game player ego in there. Like, you know, I was not going to let that comment slide about, you know, being the number one girl. I was like, that's just not going to work. So I went back and had to do it again. But it can be kind of a fun challenge, you know, and to bring your team and cheer them on. And, you know, for some of the business owners, you know, you can appreciate how fast your technicians actually can do things and how well they can actually do stuff out in the field, because it's not easy. I don't know how that guy got the 35 seconds. That's pretty impressive.
Now, for the owners and the management types who aren't necessarily doing the tech stuff that don't terminate on a regular basis, is there a training element here that you can get trained up before you do the challenge? Or
oh, of course. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So, yeah, no, they'll walk you through. They'll show you how to do it and, you know, give you a demo and show you. But, I mean, it is like, you don't realize the pressure until someone's sitting over your shoulder, you know, and watching you do it. And you're like, oh my goodness, because it has to pass too. So it can't just be how quickly you do the termination. It actually has to work. So.
Right.
And I'll just mention for anyone who's thinking, you know, you've got CEDIA Tech and Business Summits, you've got CEDIA Expo. Do I, you know, go to one or the other? Are they the same? Totally different events. I think there's a lot of value in going to both. Yep. If you have a CEDIA Tech and Business Summit in your region, it's a great time to just take the members of your team that you wouldn't, you know, fly to Denver, get a hotel, do a whole expo. But it's also just a great way, as Amanda said, to be able to get more intimate time with folks in sort of a, you know, less, you know, big conference expo type setup. And at expo, you're going to have, you know, product launches, the whole demos. It's a whole different setup. And so I just want to kind of mention, I do feel like if you have the time, do both. And if you're trying to figure out, you know, what's, you know, the benefits of one versus the other, you know, definitely take a look on the website. A lot of information. It's cedia.org/tech-summit. Full calendar of events coming up. We've got, you know, events that are going to be in Atlanta, Charlotte, Vancouver, Fort Lauderdale, you know, New York, Dallas, et cetera. There's so many that are coming up. But definitely take a look and don't think that this is going to replace, you know, Expo. They're just such different events.
Yeah. And so let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the advocacy side. And this is not new because we have talked about this on the podcast already, but I'd love to hear your insights from your Smart Home Day on Capitol Hill, where there was some lobbying done on behalf of the integration community. And maybe talk about what how well this event went for you, what some of the maybe surprises were. Yeah. You were both there in attendance, obviously. There's a big team from CEDIA as an organization, led by Daryl Friedman, who has a lot of experience in DC, having come from the music industry side of it. Maybe Amanda, could you give me your insights? Anything that surprised you from that day, or made you just kind of feel optimistic about the efforts you made?
Well, one, I think it was really great to see kind of Daryl in his element. you could tell that he definitely felt very, very comfortable there. And so it builds, you know, your confidence, like, you know, as the integrator going into the room and going in and going and talk to these representatives. I mean, it was set up very, very well. We had teams of people that would go in and speak to the different representatives, and I think it was very apparent to us, number one, that they all need integrators in their offices. They have horrible lighting, they had horrible sound, and they had terrible shades. So if there was ever a reason for them to need an integrator, their offices would definitely be the first place. But I think it was really great to just kind of see how the process works, you know, in government for the very first time. And it was really interesting. Like, a lot of them didn't know anything about our industry. So I think it was a really great introduction. I know that we look at, you know, growing this and doing this again next year. I know everyone after we went was like, oh, goodness, I would have loved to have gone, like, have more people. And I think this first time was kind of like that trial run. We had the board there. We had a couple other people there. We wanted to keep it a little bit smaller and intimate for the first time, just kind of to get our wording right, to be able to get our message right. And it definitely will be starting to open up. We'll be having more people come, you know, as we do it more, because it is most important for those representatives to hear people specifically from their states. So whenever we could make the, you know, I live in your state, these are my clientele, this is who I work with in your state and in your area, it just really gives them an eye opener to, oh, these are the people that I represent. These people work in my area or my community. These are jobs, you know, that students could have. Mm-hmm. And one of the people that we met with was actually a representative out of Texas. And it was interesting for me because he has a son that's graduating this year, just like I have a son graduating this year. And his son isn't sure about the college path. And so my son's actually going into the electrical trade world. And so I was able to talk to him a little bit about that. I think that that made a really good connection, you know, and he's like, well, my son is kind of considering trades. And I was like, well, this is the most fun trade, you know, you should check this out. So, you know, just kind of getting it started. And that's something that CEDIA can do that no other, like no other buying group, no other expo, no other anything is going to do. An association is really geared up and really set up to be able to do that advocacy and be that voice. And that's why it's so important, you know, to be a CEDIA member, because if nothing else, if your membership money just went to creating a voice, creating a, you know, a notation for integrator as, you know, a job with the United States government, having that recognized, the things that we're doing in the UK, the things that we're doing in Australia right now, that's important work. And that's advocacy that only your association can do for you.
Yeah. Alex, can you explain a little bit more about that recognition of the industry by, and you spend a lot of time in DC as well. But just as far as what it means to not be recognized and how important it is to get the integration community, basically, and my language is failing me right now, unfortunately, but to be a job title in the, according to the federal government, I guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, representation matters for so many different reasons. And, you know, first and foremost, everyone knows what an electrician is, what a plumber is, what an architect is. Yeah. We work in this kind of gray space where we're always trying to explain to a client where we fit in, to an architect where we fit in, to a designer where we fit in. And the more that we can be recognized in an official capacity, all of that stuff just gets easier. But one of the examples that we were pushing on was a bill where you can basically say, if you have a college fund saved up for your kid and they decide not to go to a four-year college, that money can't be used for a trade like our industry. And that's crazy. You should be able to say, I've been saving up. My kid doesn't want to go to a traditional four-year school, but they want to become a smart home integrator. There are resources that, you know, they can go and learn and get educated. I want to be able to use this, you know, money that we've got towards that cause. That's something that no one is against. People just didn't realize. People didn't know that that wasn't even on the table. And so CEDIA being out there representing us, advocating for us, it's super important. And over time, though, what we're going to learn is CEDIA is really going to be the organization that can bring these, you know, these ideas and these opportunities to the table. But then we need the manufacturers and the integrators and the members to show up, because it's really about showing that we're real people with real needs, and these opportunities need to be advocated for. So I feel like this was an amazing first year, first opportunity. but this is going to snowball. Year two is going to be even bigger. Year three is going to be even bigger. And if we can imagine 10, 15 years from now, that's when we're going to have a real voice. That's when we can start to really advocate for things that are going to be hugely impactful for the channel. And it just takes beginning to build relationships, getting out there, showing up. And I was so proud of CEDIA for doing that first big step this year.
And that savings that you mentioned, I mean, it's pretty important to me right now. I also have a daughter graduating from high school this year. So it's the 529, correct? That's the savings plan. And so are any other, I guess, trades pushing for this change in the way that is, you know, I guess, defined in terms of what you can spend it on? Or is CEDIA the one that's figured this out?
So short answer is every trade is looking out for themselves, and we need to be there to make sure that we get included. Otherwise, we run the risk of the electrical trade, for example, making it so they're the only ones who get this, you know, access. And ultimately, you know, I believe every trade should have the ability, but we need to make sure that CEDIA is out there advocating for who we are.
Another thing, Jeremy, too, about recognition of classification is for the integrator itself is right now we're classified under electrician other with a job code. That can have some ramifications in certain states, too, when it comes to like insurance and things like that. So when we're paying for insurance for employees or workman's comp and liability and different things like that, by not having our own classification, we're potentially paying more money for insurance that we don't need to. So those are some different things too, that why it's important to actually have a classification. It's not just, you know, we want to have a name for ourselves, but there's kind of like this trickle down effect for all of these other things. Like Alex mentioned, you know, being able to have a voice, not being classified under electrician other, because if we're under that, they're going to assume that the electrician unions then speak for us. We're going to fall under them for insurance. We're going to fall under them for, you know, work job titles, things like that. And we are a very unique and very specified industry. And so all of this advocacy helps us to be able to have that recognition. That's why it's so important to do.
That seems like a massive undertaking to get that accomplished. And like Alex said, it's, you know, 10, 15 years down the road kind of objective here. But is it only a federal thing, or is it state by state with the classification? Are there small bites that you can take to achieve the ultimate goal of getting classified?
So in this particular case, it is federal, but the nice thing is this is something that basically gets redone. I think it's every 5 years, and it's coming up in either 2026 or 2027. So really what we're focused on is just making sure before this reclassification for all industries happens, we've begun to get on the, you know, the list. If we miss this opportunity, yes, there are other things that we'll work on, but we think this is the right timing. Let's start getting the word out. Let's start talking to the right people, because we want to make sure that when this does come up, I think it's probably 2027, that this is just a slam dunk. We've already done the work, you know, in the years leading up to it.
And there's currently 23 states right now that don't have licensing regulations when it comes to integrator. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that our voice is known and heard. So there are opportunities. And if your state is one, like, for example, if you're an integrator and you don't have a licensing requirement in your state, reach out and have a conversation with Darren and ask Darren Riemann, what's going on in your state? How can you be involved? Because if your state gets ready to pass something, you want to know about it, and you want to be able to be involved. And, you know, like for me, that's why they did the Michigan Advocacy Day first. It was so important for me to want to be down there and invite all my friends in the state of Michigan, because Michigan is one of the states that does not have the licensing requirement. Well, what that means is if Michigan passed something tomorrow and they said, well, in order to run low voltage or anything like that, you'd have to have an electrical license. All the integrators, except for ones like me or very few others that had a, you know, electrical license, wouldn't be able to do what it is that they do. So it's so important for us to get that classification, know what our state is, know what the requirements are. But the quickest way to do that is if your state, if you don't right now have a license that you have to renew within your state, you should be immediately getting on the phone with Darren and say, I just want to be kept abreast of what's going on in my state. I want to be able to make sure that I can continue doing my work and things like that. And that's what CDO is doing as part of their advocacy arm for sure.
Well, that's all great work and definitely an uphill battle and, you know, well done. And it's important that everyone knows about this. I think as we kind of wrap up our conversation, maybe we talk about the expo side of CEDIA, which is open for registration now. But on the education side, CEDIA has 80 courses scheduled with 8 dedicated tracks. So a lot of education for that September timeframe. And it looks like best pricing for conference access is needs to be done, registration done before July 20th. So we get a little bit of time here, but that just came out. I'm sure that's important for those of you involved with the association side as well. Are you, Amanda, you ready to take a bunch of classes when you get to Expo in September as well?
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, my favorite thing to do is to just get the all included pass because like there's always so many classes that I just want to go to. And so like to pick out one or two or something like that, I just get the all exclusive, like, you know, just go to every single class pass. But what I do think is really great is that they are building that kind of in track. So if you are just beginning or you don't know where to go, there's going to be things that are set up for the business owner, that are set up for the technician, that are set up, you know, for the project manager. And I think that that's really important to go through. If I bring any of my staff, I map out exactly where I want them to go, what classes I want them to attend. You know, I have them take notes. I have them bring back notes so that I know what's going on. Usually it's harder than anything is just finding the time to make all the classes, you know, that I want to go out and I want to make. So, but usually they'll offer them, you know, and if there's a really popular one, if people really like it, suggest it to Jonathan Toomey and say, hey, maybe we should have that at a, you know, tech and business summit, you know, so that we get it more often throughout the year in localized areas or, you know, get it on a podcast or something like that, or get it recorded where people can, you know, follow in and watch it again. So.
Great. And Alex, it looks like Josh AI has been all about partnerships lately and your announcements with most recent one, this outdoor TV brand I'd never heard of called Fury. And then Shelly USA was a news item, but really about becoming a bigger whole house control system for integrators. So can you kind of give us just a quick little update on where Josh AI is and what you kind of are looking forward to toward the CD Expo timeframe?
Yeah, it's been an exciting really couple years, but this year in particular on the control side of the industry, just a lot of shakeup, a lot of things changing, a lot of people trying to figure out, you know, where's everyone going? And with us, we've really been just, you know, steadfast for a while now on building a more complete, robust system with lots of integrated partners. We have 3 new products we're launching this year. All 3 will be on display at CD Expo. On the hardware side, a lot of integrations on the software side, a lot of features. It's always, you know, the big event where we say, let's go and show off lots of awesome, crazy new things. The other thing is Denver's, you know, our hometown. So our office is walking distance from the convention center. We always invite people to come by the office. We do trainings, education. We show off what we've got. It's just a really exciting, but crazy busy time for us. I don't want to reveal too much that we haven't yet announced, but expect some pretty big things because CEDIA Expo is definitely a time that we go all in on, you know, showing everything we've got.
Well, it's exciting. We've got a whole summer, spring and summer ahead of us, but it's great to kind of look ahead to that. It gets here before you know it. So thanks for that little teaser. And Amanda, thanks for your insights as well. It's been great having both of you on the podcast to talk about so much that's been going on with the CEDIA, the association. So thanks for your time today.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was great fun.
Alex Capocillatro is CEO of Josh AI. You can learn more about his company at josh.ai. And Amanda Wildman is co-owner of True Media. You can learn more about her company at truemediahome.com. And you can learn more about becoming a CEDIA member or getting more involved in the association at cedia.org. That wraps up today's show, which was produced by Residential Tech Today, IPW, and Pretty Easy Podcast. If you're new to Residential Tech Talks, please subscribe to the podcast wherever you watched or listened to this episode. Also, check out all the latest residential tech news at our magazine's website, restechtoday.com, where you can also subscribe to the print or digital magazine and to our Tuesday and Thursday email newsletters. Until next time, please stay safe, stay inspired, and let us know if you have a great story to tell. Residential Tech Talks, lighting specialist, to residential tech.